He is risen. Amen. Happy Easter. My name is James, and it is my privilege to give the message for you today and to serve this church as the pastor. Let me invite you to close your eyes, to bow your heads, and join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, not to me, but to you alone be the glory. To you alone be all of the glory and praise, because you are completely worthy of it. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can and we do celebrate. Lord, I just pray that your beautiful word, which is alive, which is dynamic, would speak into our hearts. May your spirit, Father, challenge and encourage us today. Speak into our lives, God. You know where each and every one of us are today. You know what we need to hear. May you be the one that speaks to our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So if you have brought your Bibles with you today, then I encourage you to open them up. We're going to find ourselves in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 24. And I'm going to read for us Luke 24 verses 1 to 12, but I will only focus today on verses 1 to 8. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them, who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the stripes of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. This is the word of the Lord. So we will go through our text today, and we will look at three parts as we make our way, as we expose, we exposit what the text has to say to us. The first part is walking in the wrong place. We will take a look and accompany these women on the way to the tomb. Then we will look at the second part. He is not here, but he has risen. And then thirdly, we have the challenge to trust in Jesus. So let me start by setting the scene. And if you will, picture this scene. Let us accompany these women on the way to the tomb. Who are these women? Well, these are women who have long supported Jesus' ministry. Some of them financially, some of them out of their own pocket. These women have spent literally hundreds of hours walking, laughing, eating, talking with Jesus. They know this man. Verse 10 gives us some of their names. We have Mary Magdalene, who we know quite well. Jesus healed Mary from seven demons, and she very loyally followed Jesus after that. We have Joanna, who was the wife of the manager of Herod's household estate, and who Jesus also healed. We have Mary, the mother of James the Younger. And if we harmonize all the other gospel accounts, the other women that Luke talks about, we have a few more Marys. It's a very popular name. We have Mary, Jesus's mother. We have Mary, the wife of Clopas. And we probably have Salome there. Now, all of these women watched the crucifixion. They are identified as being there. Unlike the disciples, a few of these women were standing right by the cross. They witnessed the agony of Jesus up close. And then it was the Sabbath time, so they no doubt went back to their different homes and they rested. But let us picture this scene. It is very early in the morning. It is probably before 6 o'clock in the morning. But these women have been up long before that. They have been preparing the spices because they want to anoint their master's body. They still want to honor their master and limit the smell of decomposition, which is probably starting to set in by now. If you can imagine the skies of pink and purple, there's sparrows, there's pigeons in the sky, and these women are walking. Now, I imagine these women walking quite somberly. I imagine these women walking quite slowly, because some of these images would be so hard to get out of your head. You've just seen Jesus breathe his last breath on the cross. You've just witnessed the nails being pierced through his hands. You've heard the sounds and the ridicule of the religious leaders taunting him. They're ringing in your ears as you go on this walk. And you know, these women know exactly where they're going, because two of them had previously sat and watched as Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had put Jesus' body in a new tomb. So they knew where they were going. But as they walked together, they turn to each other and they ask a question. And this is recorded in Mark 16. And this is the question. They asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? I love the fact that that is in the Bible. That gives a nice ring of authenticity to the whole thing. These women are so dedicated and so devoted to their master. It doesn't actually occur to them that there is a massive stone in front of the tomb. And so how exactly are they going to anoint Jesus' body? So focused are they. But as they get to the tombs, they realize this is the least of their concerns. Because when they arrive, the stone has been rolled away. Now let's pause here for a moment and let's ask ourselves a very logical question. Why was the stone rolled away? Because it was not so that Jesus could come out. Because we know that Jesus' new resurrected body had no problem coming through walls. John chapter 20, Jesus just appears to the disciples in the upper room. So it was not rolled away so Jesus could come out. It was rolled away so those women could look in. Those women could be the very first eyewitnesses to something that was radically new. This was not a place of the dead anymore. And that dead, decomposing body, which they expected to see, was not there. If we go on, we see the women's reaction. The next slide. So it says, Luke 24, verses 4 to 6a, while they were wondering about this, that word means like perplexed. While they were perplexed, scratching their head, what is this? What has happened? Suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. The women's lives had changed in an instant. They are no longer looking at the cross. No longer with fixed on Jesus' dead body on the cross. They're now looking at the resurrection. But what I want us to do is take a moment to consider the angel's very logical question. Why do you look for the living among the dead? The women went there because they sincerely, genuinely thought Jesus is dead. The ministry is over. The ministry is defeated. Now, there's a nice story that relates to this that I'd like to tell you. There's a website called Our Daily Bread, and there was an author called Paul Baxendale, and he gives a nice story about this. So if you know your history, you will know the Battle of Waterloo in 1815 between the British forces led by Lord Wellington and Napoleon. Now, at this time, there was no mobile phones, clearly, and so the British were waiting for news of this battle. And what happened, there was a lookout. And what the way that they would signal, they would have signal ships. And as these signal ships came into view, the lookout who was waiting for the news looked to see what the message was. But it was a misty morning. It was a foggy morning. So lookout read the news. And the message read, Wellington defeated. It was over. The battle was over. The British had lost. As the bad news quickly spread around. But as the mist began to clear away, the lookout realized actually he had read the message wrong. The message read, Wellington defeated Napoleon. Actually, the battle was won. And just like that, those followers, those women, believed that Jesus was defeated. And it took this question from the angel to clear away the mist of their unbelief, because actually the message read, Jesus defeated death. But it took this question, and this is actually a little rebuke from the angel. It's a gentle, healing rebuke. Don't you trust in Jesus' words? Don't you remember Jesus' words? Of course he's not here. Didn't Jesus always do what he said he was going to do? Don't you remember? He plainly told you that he would suffer, he would be killed, but he would rise again. Now today, on this Easter Sunday, it could be, and I think it is, that a few of us need to hear this gentle rebuke in our lives. Do you believe only half of the message? Maybe you say, yes, he is risen. But are you acting like it? Are you stepping out in that belief? Is that a spiritual reality for you? Or are you still looking for the living among the dead? Now, that probably doesn't mean that you're hanging out in cemeteries, looking around gravestones. But as we heard today, as it began, Romans 8 verse 11, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. This same Spirit revives. This same Spirit revives the weary, the brokenhearted, the backslider. Ask yourself, is this a spiritual reality in my life? The Spirit of God lives in you. But are you worrying and fearful and overwhelmed by all of those bills to pay and that flat to look for and that job to find and that partner to find? Are you actually acting as if Jesus was still dead? The Spirit of God lives in you. But why act as if you do not have the power to forgive that neighbor who offended you? Jesus is alive. But are you still living in the dark, doing those things in the dark, that secret habit nobody knows of? Jesus himself proclaimed to you and me in Revelation 1:18, I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. In your day-to-day bills to pay, in the guitar lessons that you have, in your interactions with people, Christian, ask yourself, is this a reality in my life? Am I stepping out and trusting in him that this same Spirit lives in me? Am I living according to that? It is not an overstatement to say that the whole of the Christian faith rests on the angel's proclamation, he isn't here, he has risen. And the subsequent appearances of Jesus, alive and well, to his disciples. In fact, Paul says, if this is not true, if Christ has not been risen, then you and I, our faith, it's useless. It's not, well, oh well, you know, well, he was a great guy, and we still have the teachings that we can live our life by. No, it's over. Your faith is useless. The Christian faith rests and falls on this truth. He is risen. So as well as the spiritual truth for us in our daily lives, we also have that very physical reality, Jesus' body, which was covered in linen, lying down, actually rose up. He actually walked around and ate. Now, it could be, and I'm hoping that it is true, that there are a few of us here today, because it's Easter Sunday, who are pretty new to church buildings. You don't often step into a church. You are very welcome. It may be that a few of us are kind of interested in the Christian faith, and you respect Jesus, and you respect those teachings, but you have not yet given your life over to Jesus. You are welcome. Now, some of us are very logical people. You look for the evidence, and that is good, because the author C.S. Lewis said, the heart cannot rejoice in what the mind rejects as false. And there is good evidence that we may place and rest our belief on. And so if you are willing, I'd like to present us a few pieces of evidence which we can rest in the truth of the historical case of the resurrection. Three pieces of evidence that we have. Firstly, we have the angel's words, he has risen. Now, this was the very first statement from the early church. This was the earliest creed that the first church started proclaiming, he has risen. Yet an argument against Christianity that maybe a few of us have is, well, you know what? Those gospels were written so long after this resurrection that this story kind of got changed as the years went on. It kind of became corrupted and a bit legendary, so we can't really believe in it. If you may think that or worry about that, let me deflate that argument. There is a piece of scripture that I'd like to give us. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 to 5. This is the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. It says this, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Now that letter was written more or less around 54 AD. Yet this part is a quote. If you read it in the Bible, you can see he's quoting something. Now, virtually every single atheist, secular scholar, and Christian scholar will agree on this one truth. That creed can be dated to 2 or 3 years after the resurrection. So there was no time for it to be corrupted, for some other story to be said. The angel's proclamation became the trumpet call of the early church. From the beginning, he has risen. Second piece of evidence, the tomb, the empty tomb itself is a piece of evidence. Because the location was not a secret. This tomb was owned by Joseph, a prominent member of the Sanhedrin. It was a fresh new tomb. And as Christianity spread out, much to the dismay of the religious leaders and the Roman authorities, it would have been no problem for them to say, well, actually, here's his dead body. Silenced. That spread of Christianity snuffed out. But they couldn't produce it because there was no body to produce. He was alive. Third piece of evidence that Jesus rose from the dead is these women. It's actually the witness of these women. You see, at this time, a couple of thousand years ago, the testimony of women was not considered valid or trustworthy. In fact, in a court of law, it was not allowed. It was not allowed to be admitted. It was not deemed to be credible. And so the early opponents of Christianity at that time, they said, we cannot believe in the resurrection account because of the evidence of these women. It's women who are doing it. But actually, the fact that all the Gospels mention this detail gives enormous credibility to the account. Why would the disciples allow this embarrassing detail to be in the account if it wasn't true? Surely they would have just covered it up. No, we can't say this. But the gospel writers simply wanted to tell the truth. This is what happened. I know it may seem like this, but this is what happened. God honored the faithfulness and devotion of these women by ensuring that they were the first witnesses. So we have reason to believe, and we have reason to trust in Jesus. Let us go on with our text. Let me read on. Luke 6, B, verse 8. Remember, this is the angel's words. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. Remember. Remember, says the angel. Recall, bring it back to you what he has plainly told you. They didn't understand it when he told them. Maybe they didn't want to understand it. They had created, the disciples and the women, created some kind of fog of unbelief, some kind of mist. Now, when you're driving on a cold, foggy morning, it's a little bit dangerous. But it's a lot more dangerous if you have no lights on. Then you could be driving the wrong way. And Jesus' words are like this. They are like a shining, piercing light that cuts through any fog of confusion, of disbelief, of darkness that we may create around ourselves. They are words of pure truth. Just imagine, I was thinking to myself, just imagine what would have happened if those women and the disciples had simply remembered, had simply trusted in Jesus' words. Very unlikely that they would have actually gone looking for the living among the dead. They would not have gone to that tomb. They would have probably gone on their own Easter egg hunt. They would have been, wow, where is he? Let's split up. Let's search around Jerusalem. Some women go to the cross in Golgotha. Some women go to the Garden of Gethsemane. Or maybe they're all waiting eagerly in the upper room. He's coming back. He's coming back. Because they trusted in his word. They remembered his words. It is wonderful, people, to simply take Jesus at face value. To simply take those words at face value. Not distort them, not change them, not get them all mixed up. Just to trust in them. There is a wonderful old hymn that gets at this truth. The first verse of the hymn says this: 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Very often in life, though, the problem is, we can't completely trust in those around us because we've been let down, even by loved ones. We've been let down. Have you ever made a promise that you couldn't keep? I have. In fact, a few times I have made a promise I couldn't keep. I have often been guilty of making some bold, hasty pronouncement and then realizing, hold on, actually, I'm not sure if we can do that. It's often on a Saturday morning. I've had my coffee. The sun is up and I'm feeling good. I'm going to fix that broken thing. That is going to be fixed. Or, you know what? We're all going out on a big day out. Come on. And then an hour later, I realize, oh, hold on. I've got some other plans. And then disappointment, right? Usually loud disappointment. And then maybe you're not a man of your word. That's a little stinging when the children say that. You're not a man of your word. You know something? Jesus was the ultimate man of his word. The ultimate. Every single thing he said came true. Everything. He will not let you down. Unlike any other human, he will never let you down. He promised to his disciples he would rise again. He did. He promised that those who believe and trust in his words would be given the same spirit which raised him from the dead and would live in them. And so, Christian, do not act as if he is dead. Step out of your unbelief and rest in his promises. His words are a firm foundation for you. You may trust in them. And if you are here today and you have not yet trusted in Jesus' words, you have not taken them at face value, I encourage you to step out. He is alive, he has risen, and he loves to hear your prayers. So take that first step. I want to encourage us to do that right now. I want to ask us to close our eyes and to bow our heads. If you feel comfortable doing that, you don't have to. But sometimes it helps. Now I want to ask this specifically for those who have not yet trusted in Jesus' words, who have not yet taken him at face value. If you would, let me help you with a few words to say, and then we will have a moment of silence where you may say anything that you want to God. Heavenly Father, I want to trust in you, Jesus. I want to take you at face value. Please reveal yourself to me. I want to know you more, God. And I'll let you do any business you want with the Lord. Let me have a few moments of silence. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to pray for my brothers and sisters here today. And I want to pray for those who don't yet know you, who don't yet know your power. Lord, if we have committed our lives to you, would you please help us to live accordingly? You have risen. You are alive. May our lives reflect that truth. Please help us to not look so inward at whatever strength and resources we have, but know the one who has all power is dwelling in us. And for those who have not yet taken that step, Lord, would you be so merciful and gracious as to reveal your steadfast love to them. Draw their hearts to you, please, God, I pray. Help them to trust in your words, Jesus. In your name, I pray this. Amen.